Welcome back to the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here with me. I have an incredible show. Watch right here what's coming up your way.
Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show. Please tune in. This is going to be the most explosive, never before heard interview of me because we're going to go in a direction that I think many people wanted more detail on. I just never had an opportunity to share it. So stay tuned. Amber May. The show.
Please like, share, and subscribe. Share this far and wide. I think it's really informative what Ivan Ranklin's going to say on today's episode. But if please consider becoming an angel investor, 5, 10, 100, whatever you'd like to give to help support the program. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button and donate just whatever you can, because I am not sponsored by Big Pharma. That would be very helpful. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. Please join me on Telegram. I offer more content there at The Amber May Show. I'm on Frank Social at Amber May and True Social at Amber May. So without further ado, I have the one and only Ivan Ranklin joining me today. I have the one and only Ivan Ranklin on the program today, and he has quite the background. Very, very amazing. His work life, his military career. Ivan, would you please tell my audience a little bit about your background and what you're doing today?
Yeah. So let me just kind of shift a little bit the camera. So there's two big things in my background you can see here. Actually, three. Other than the U.S. flag, you see the dartboard, and that's a representation of how I like to. I like to solve problems in the most unconventional way possible that people don't think about or expect, but then that results in the fastest way and path to victory. So how is that on a dartboard? You would normally think that you want to throw all your darts right in the center for the bullseye. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Bullseye is only 25 points. And then a double bullseye, which is the maximum points you would think on the dartboard, is 50 points. Well, lo and behold, that is not the case. The triple 20 slot right there, you can see six darts are in it. So if you throw three darts and they're all landing in the triple 20 spot, that's what? 180 points versus 150 for a double bullseye. So there you have it. That represents my background there. And I think what you were getting at more probably was the background of what I hung up in August of 2022. 25-year career in the military and the national security apparatus, where I started off as I did enlisted time. I was a cadet. I did ROTC, became an officer. And what professions did I focus in on? It was intelligence, tactical, operational, strategic. I did intelligence, I did human intelligence, counterintelligence work, and then I also did analysis, and then I also taught analysis and national security and how the whole construct looks. So, and then aside from that, I also had the opportunity to be a detachment commander in the Green Berets and also a company commander in the Green Berets. And then as they offered me to become a battalion commander, which supposedly that's a very difficult thing to be offered and whatnot. You get what you put out, or you get out what you put into work. And so when they offered that to me, I was a hard no, because I had already had my sights to retire. And that was because of two main things. Actually, you can even call it three. I was not going to be complicit in being a sub agent to the Chinese Communist Party, considering that they installed their agent in the White House to defile it, who then downstream from that has appointed those that are loyal to Big Pharma, as well as indirectly Chinese Communist Party interests. So I didn't want to individually That's what I was able to do. I know different people took different paths, but I wasn't going to bend on my moral, ethical, and legal principles and duty to our Constitution to be complicit in that. So I was at a point in my career where I was able to retire, luckily without bending a knee. I mean, I think I probably bent less than even anybody, in the sense that when I was asked my status as it applies to allowing for the medical rape of my body, yep, with the emergency use authorized product, when they, the first thing that they tried to implement was, you have to tell us whether or not you allowed us to rape you medically. And I just said, you know what, that's just something that once you provide me the legal foundational, requirement that I'm obligated to respond to that question, there's the HIPAA issues and all that. Mm-hmm. Once you can find the general counsel, whether it be as a civilian contractor or in my military capacity in the national security apparatus through the JAG, once, mm-hmm, you can provide that to me, I would be willing to consider what my next steps would be. But we never really had to go there, because at the end of the day, when you push back and force them to find legal reasoning for it, it all of a sudden becomes, oh, wow, well, it's a direct order and we didn't really look at the law. Well, I'm like, how about you take a look at the law? And one other thing I didn't mention, I'm a lawyer. In between my active, between active guard and reserve time, when I was part-time military, right, I ended up having an opportunity to go ahead and get a law degree in 2004, became an attorney in 2005. So since then, I would take on some things and matters related to the national security space, as well as a constitutional law. So that's generally my background.
When you were a lawyer, did you represent anyone in the JAG courts, like fellow soldiers? No?
No. So again, it was, in terms of my legal component, it has been more focused primarily in the last few years, is it's more of a legal strategy.
Okay.
Taking national, because you got to remember that most people think of attorneys, they draft. So you have transactional attorneys that are drafting contracts and making sure that everything's, all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, making sure all the filings and the compliance is done properly. That's one body of attorneys. Then you have those that a lot of people realize, defense and prosecution, those that are litigating some component within the court system.
Right.
But there is another component, and that's kind of where I've been focusing more of my efforts. Now, I've helped out in minor cases tangentially in some litigation, but my name has not been on there for deliberate reasons, because that's just the way I wanted to set it up. But I have... The other component is, in constitutional law, it really is a component of not only when the courts have failed us in many respects over the last several years, the way that we kind of change the psyche of our institutions, it's through the court of public opinion, right?
Yes, that's and what with I the preach court on of this public show.
Opinion, mm-hmm. When we create content that is compelling, that is tied to our legal foundations and principles, that has an influence and impact on even judges, but at a more broader scale. So if I'm on you mentioned earlier, if I'm on Tucker Carlson, mm-hmm. and now the normies and the mainstream now switch their mindset to think, oh, Ivan Raiklin, total tinfoil hat, but now that he was on Tucker,
right,
I'm going to be now, I won't be ostracized for consuming him because he's now mainstream.
Right.
And that allows them an opportunity to say, wait, Ivan's actually been saying this for 3 years already, or in other instances, 7 years already. And so now they're able to withstand, or they won't be attacked for consuming content that I pushed out, right? So that is our responsibility. Based on my background, the way we regain ground and territory of what we've lost to the Chinese Communist Party, to other influences, to these radical domestic leftist extremists, just full-blown psychologically deranged terrorists, is to reinstate our norms and principles that are rational to counter them and the bots that they've created to make it look like they are the majority of the mindset of America or the world.
Right.
which they're not. It's all AI bot it's just content that was created, right. Not genuinely
propaganda. Yeah, and you're right.
Push back 100% with our own content. That's why I'm trying to do as many shows as I can, and it's up to folks to decide for themselves on whether or not what I'm putting out is compelling. Mm-hmm. And so far, I mean, I guess I'm an overnight success that took 25 years in the making, right? To be able to say, hey, this is the body of background experience knowledge that I bring to the table. And I try to, sum it up. Some podcasts are 15, 20 minutes. Others, they start off with asking me for 15 minutes and it becomes 2 hours. And then one of us has to be like, who's going to go try to use the restroom first to finish off the podcast type of thing.
Like because did great yesterday on InfoWars. Like that was almost an hour and a half, 2 hour show. That was amazing. You did great on that.
Oh, and I only scratched the surface.
Yes, you did.
On the issues that need to be addressed, because I feel as though based on my background, and again, a lot of it comes down to, yes, you got to have some background. I have a lot of training and background, but the other thing is the courage, right? There's very few of us that are in a position to not only have the knowledge, but also to have and built the network to be able to confirm information and its credibility, right? And test that information. And then also have the courage, right? And as well as the network to broadcast it for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And at this point, I think I've probably reached hopefully millions at this point. And that's where you start getting into really challenging the established order. And that's when they start to attack me. Now, most people fold when they're being attacked, right? But homie, don't play that. That's not my game, right? I don't bend the knee to anything or anybody if you're violating my principles. If you come after me, then it comes down to I am going to now escalate against you. Because even if you're a governmental institution, you're thinking, oh, Ivan, be careful. They're going to come after you. They're going to, guess what? I want them to come after me because it brings them out in the open. I egg them on to come out in the open. And as we expose light to that interaction, as you probably saw with my, I don't know if you see my Telegram, when the TSA decides to rape me.
Yes,
well, I guess saw what? That. a passive viewer that's watching it is going to look at it and say, you know what? I mean, you tell me, what is my demeanor like in that interaction?
You were fine. You were calm, cool, collected. And I want to say, look at your background alone. Just being a Green Beret, that's not just any soldier can become a Green Beret. That is the elite of the Army. So someone like, you've been trained to be in combat. I mean, you are a man of principle, and someone in your training.
Do I exude any level of stress in that interaction?
Nope.
What about the individual that I'm interacting with that happens to be, he's got the backing of the entire federal government.
Right. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank you for your continued support by bringing you the biggest bath sale ever. Get my 6-piece towel sets for the lowest price ever, only $39.96. His and her bathrobes, 50% off. Bath mats for as low as $17.49. And I'm also excited to announce the original My Slippers are back in stock. And now they come in even more colors and wide sizes. They're made with the same great patented technology. And yes, you'll still save $90 a pair. So get the biggest savings ever on bath sheets, bath mats, washcloths, hand towels, bathrobes, slippers, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and get deep discounts on all MyPillow bath products, including our 6-piece towel sets. Regular $89.98, now only $39.96. Get all your shopping in while quantities last, so please order now.
This is Charlie Ward. Welcome to the Amber May TV show.
Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites, Also, get your ivermectin. Set up a telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the Kobe Bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your Kobe Bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money. You are listening to the AmberMay Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
What did you see in that interaction? Who has the upper hand?
You totally had the upper hand. 100%. You were quoting law.
Because
you had a camera. You were filming the whole thing. You were telling them how they're violating your constitutional rights. Your Fourth Amendment, I think you were talking about. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And guess what? That is, in essence, I am in the court of public opinion exercising, I guess, if you will, being a constitutional attorney. And you don't have to be an attorney to do that. You can literally read. Like, how does someone become an attorney? They read, right? They learn some stuff, and then they pass a test. Well, you don't have to pass a test in order to be able to stand on your rights and on your grounds. And then I think it's so much more compelling when you're able to bring in other folks. You know, if people thought I'm like, oh, it's tinfoil hat, this and that, and then you watch that video, and it's almost as though I am forcing errors. They're continuing to make errors. And I just feel so much more confident, if you will. I don't know what the exact term is, but they discredit every time I'm recording these interactions. I have the moral, ethical, legal high ground, and they're just continuing to discredit themselves right with what they're doing. Because a normal person, when you start to look into what's going on, it's like, why is Ivan? Because the next question is, why are they doing it to Ivan Raiklin?
Well, I kind of
let
know
me look
why
at his background.
I kind of right know why they're doing it to
and
you.
Then when I explain it, I have an opportunity to red pill every TSA agent
that's
in the
right
process.
And that's
and
what
you
were saying too. You're like,
it,
I'm red pilling everybody in the airport.
So it's like when they ask me, have you called and contacted so that they take you off of the list? I'm like, I don't think that's productive. I think I'm going to be able to essentially change the mindset of the entire TSA in every city that I go through, because they're going to be intrigued, because most of them have never interacted with somebody on the Quad S list. Right. If you've seen, like, I'm literally tying up an entire airline, right? A counter for 2 hours. It's like, yeah, it takes my time away, but guess what? I'm using this as an opportunity to educate the country of what our illegitimate executive branch is doing to us. And I just happen to be the target. So to me, it's like, I'm honored to be the avatar exposing it. Like that you couldn't, I mean, how much would that cost, that sort of exposure, to get the message out and showcasing their illegitimacy?
Right.
I mean, it's, you can't, that's that, I don't have that kind of funds to do it. So they offer that opportunity for me to essentially, and it's great when I'm going to these shows like Alex and we can just show it. I mean, I'm sure tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people saw that. And now more and more people are waking up. And as we talked about it, the more people seeing reality, because I mean, that's pretty convincing, compelling evidence that I'm providing. I mean, this is just raw video. And then what are they going to do and say in return? Oh, we're going to put out a public release or this. Guess what? That dude and the entire, whoever put me on that list, they violated my Fourth Amendment, and then they also violated and tried to have a chilling effect on my First Amendment, because on several occasions, I have missed a flight to be able to speak before an audience to exercise my First Amendment. Whoa. And discuss how we can remedy our illegally certified 2020 elections or remedy some of these other unconstitutional acts by our government.
People understand the First Amendment. The Fourth Amendment, isn't that an unwarranted search and seizure? Is that the Fourth Amendment?
Correct. Okay. Yes. So thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So I deal with this and live and breathe it, right, all the time. So Fourth Amendment. And this is something that I think more, you know, every day, just take a look at one amendment. Remember this. People think, oh, Constitution, that's so big. It's too much information. Seven articles.
It's in a pocket.
And 27 amendments.
Uh-huh.
If you got no time whatsoever, just focus in on those first 10. I mean, that should be your priority. And like, if you don't have that much time when you're going to the restroom, just, you know, try to get one handy and then just look at one amendment. It's literally like 30. Oh, some of them are 30 seconds to look through and just kind of read it, internalize it, right? Because at the end of the day, that is our collective rule book, that if we don't know it, how are we supposed to make sure that those that are in the position to completely violate it know what needs to be done, what is right? So
I want to go back great to your opportunity. Military days.
I don't want to get off of this list because I'll red pill the entire institution in the process one by one.
So I have to ask you, being a soldier in the military, did you ever serve under General Flynn?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting question, complicated, and this will be the first time that this will be my debut, I think, discussing it in detail.
That's awesome.
So the short answer is not directly, but indirectly, yes. And here's kind of how that looks. In 2012 to 2014, let's do this chronologically.
Okay.
So again, I spent 25 years in our system from 1997 to 2022. August 30th is when I retired as a lieutenant colonel, as mentioned before. But, you know, whatever rank, that's just, I get rank is by attrition, because usually you get to that point because somebody did something stupid. And because I didn't do anything stupid, illegal, immoral, unethical, I happen to continue to work my way up the ranks.
No, you don't give yourself enough credit. That's
so I barely made it.
No, I don't think so.
Well, my colleagues would beg to differ. It's like, the only reason why you made it is because the other ones made criminal.
No, of course your buddies are going to tell you that. Of course.
So anyhow, I barely survived all the way to lieutenant colonel and declined the battalion command. But bottom line is, 2010 is when really General Flynn came on my radar, and this is now almost 13 years ago, when he published a story. It's called Fixing Intel, and it was written by a Marine captain at the time, by a gentleman named Pottinger is his last name. And it was called Fixing Intel, and it was essentially talks about how, you know, his meaning General Flynn's time in Afghanistan when he was out there working for U.S. military forces out there. He came up with this blueprint on how to fix the intelligence ecosystem and the apparatus in Afghanistan to actually be more effective. So that was the first time where the world could see in a very public manner how he's calling out and speaking truth to power, mm-hmm. in a way that it just transcends really. It's not a partisan issue. It's, hey, mm-hmm. like, we're trying to promote and defend U.S. national security interests abroad, you know, defending the Constitution, right? Fight and win our nation's wars. And he's identified a problem. And then not only it's easy to identify a problem and complain about it, but he proposed a pathway to fixing it. That's why it's called Fixing Intel. And so that, when I read through that, that really resonated with me. Because it was somebody taking a bold step, publicly calling out the system, that it wasn't being effective. And then taxpayers are essentially, they're facing fraud, waste, and abuse for their taxpayer mm-hmm. dollars, because we're not really fighting and winning our nation's wars in in an efficient manner. So that's when he got on my radar. I had been at a conference as well where he spoke, and I was attended remotely. He impressed me there with his knowledge and understanding that, you know, no one was really expressing things in the way that he did. And so fast forward to 2012, he then becomes, he is appointed by, you know, At the time, the president was Obama. He was appointed to be the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And before that, he was actually after Afghanistan, he ended up becoming the principal deputy director of national intelligence, I think for Intel Community Integration, if I'm not mistaken, over at the director of national intelligence. And then he went over to the director. So when he became the director, it was a few months after I had started as a civilian there, as a government civilian employee.
You're still in the reserve, right, at this point, but you're working?
Yeah, because I've been on active guard reserve, so I'm in the reserves, but then my full time becomes, after my deployment to Central America, I come back and then start my civilian employment at the Defense Intelligence Agency, okay? And he later on, a few months later, he becomes the director. And you could see immediately the cultural shift massively change towards a more professional workforce. And you could notice the internal deliberations. I'm not going to go into all of that. But you could sense that, you know, I think publicly, you could see some of the comments that were being made. It caused friction, right? And so fast forward to 2014, when Ukraine crisis kicks off, the first one, right? And that's for another story, another time.
I need to ask you about Ukraine. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you. So I had no idea you were directly, like you had direct involvement in Ukraine.
I still haven't answered your question because
I want to, I still want to, I still want to know about the General Flynn thing, but that's a question I have for you. Like coming into this interview, I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
All right. So 2014. So remember, I'm a mid-level analyst focused on a similar region that he came from, let's just say. And I would go to headquarters where he was the director, right, in that building in DC. And it's probably maybe once every couple months over the course of that 2-year period, not too frequent. But every time I would go there, I would bump into, it was literally every single time I went to headquarters, I would bump into General Flynn. And it wasn't like planned or anything. It's just, I'm coming into the building and I'm just kind of like, right. He's busy, right? He's got to be moving really quickly between every event. And so I'm just rolling in, going into work. And I see somebody kind of zooming by me like, hey, and I would say, how you doing, sir, General? And I was like, hey, how you doing? And then later on, it would be like, oh, I go into an elevator to go to a particular office that I got to talk to. And then lo and behold, as the doors are closing, General Flynn comes in with his aide or something. And then he kind of recognizes me. Obviously, I know who he is. Yes. Everybody in the agency knows who the boss is. And he doesn't really know who I am. He's like, hey, are you following me? I'm like, I think you're following me, sir. I mean, I was in this elevator first. And so kind of like, obviously you make an impression, because later on it was a couple more times, I'm walking out of the building several months later. And then he comes, because he's moving quicker to one of his vehicles that's taking him to probably another meeting. I don't know. And so I look over and he's like, oh, it's you again. I'm like, no, it's you. It's you again, sir. I'm going to keep an eye on you, but like, obviously
that's
professional,
so cool.
And cordial.
That is so cool.
So, again, nothing substantive. It was just, that was kind of probably first interactions I've ever had with him. And it wasn't until 2014, and I was in the Ukraine crisis team, that was being stood up, and I was there. And the next thing you know, remember, there was also discussion is when, ISIS was essentially taking over Northern Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, obviously this is all public.
Right.
Open source. The whole world knows about everything that I've discussed so far. I'm not saying anything outside of what I can't. But so he basically, I think it was the Ukraine crisis team was going on. And then the ISIS thing happens. Obama's talking about that's a JV team. Right. And then during that period of time, General Flynn testifies before the Senate and the House Intel committees to give what's called the annual posture statement. And this is all on C-SPAN for everybody to see and consume. And he kind of lays out the case of, hey, You know, he has to testify before Congress. And what is he going to do? Is he going to sugarcoat something? No. Or is he going to go ahead and use the methodology that I just talked about in 2010 right. when he publicly says, hey, I'm going to speak truth to power. Uh-huh. So he spoke truth to power. And then what happens after he spoke truth to power? Meaning ISIS ain't a JV team, which isn't congruent with the political push from, at that time, the commander, you know, the Obama, the commander in chief at the time, Hussein. So then he talks about how the, you know, Iran, right? And the whole JCPOA, which is the treaty, you know, working with Iran, with John Kerry. So he frames it in a way from a national, you know, it's not going to be a good national security move from his perch and position as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And then what happens next? I think most people see that he resigns. Well, you can kind of put two and two together and guess that he probably was what I call resigned.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company / Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American-made, patriot-owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company / Amber May, and use promo code Amber May to save some money.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are on The Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out the CommandersArtist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you could support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout. Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yep. Okay. For speaking truth to power. Okay. So then
I think he was starting to uncover things that they did not want uncovered.
Right. And so you got to remember at that time, as you're looking at all the open available public information, you start to see the, let's just put it this way, Biden is the front man for the Ukraine stuff. And when he goes and talks to Petro Poroshenko in Ukraine and says, hey, Petro, I got a great idea for you. We need to develop your economy, and we need to focus on developing your natural resources sector to develop your economy that way. And we're going to do it through unconventional means. And those unconventional means happen to be placing my son Hunter, who has massive amounts of experience in his olfactory senses are bar none, and they can sniff out a new oil field and a natural gas field to serve on your board of Burisma. And again, Petro, my son for years has sniffed lines of coke, both nostrils. So that should be plenty of experience for him to go ahead and find new gas and oil fields for you to build your business up. And then he is unprecedented in his ability to smoke crack. So that those two things alone should be all that is necessary for you to appoint him to be on the board of Ukraine's largest natural gas company, Burisma. And oh, by the way, why don't you pay him $1 million a year for that, divided by 12, I believe turns out to $83,000, $83,333.33 a month or something like that. I used to know those numbers. So
not only that, but they
remember, I'm kind of like, not only during the day at work, I'm kind of like, you know, researching what's going on there, but like, you know, I'm off duty in my personal capacity. I'm kind of keeping up on what's going on in the news publicly. And I'm only talking about the public stuff that I was doing in my personal capacity, not on duty, that I'm talking to you about, because all this stuff is coming from, oh, I don't know. The Washington Compost even talked about all this in April of 2014.
Glenn,
so anyway, and who's the director of the Defense Intelligence? Maybe he knows. I don't, I'm guessing, right? Because I don't really have a, it was just a passing fleeting hi, hello relationship with him. So I can't confirm any of this. So fast forward, he is resigned. And I happen to reach out on LinkedIn to say, I know exactly what happened, sir. You have a loyal soldier for whatever you decide to do next. Because what they did to you is I want to use the right word here. On Tucker, I called it offensive. And I don't think that's the proper term
they
to describe
to destroy
what
him.
They did.
They tried
that
to destroy
me
him.
Was an absolute affront to our constitutional system to go after someone for doing the right thing, speaking truth to power. And that was the beginning of my contempt for our, well, not all, but certain individuals that were in the halls of power within our civilian leadership. And it's not a contempt for the our country, our institutions. It was at that moment just a, you know, individuals that had done that. And it wasn't anything visceral. It was just like, you know, this is just an, it was unfair, right? It was more of like a benign, yeah, this is unfair. And then, but then as you start to look and research deeper into it, that unfairness quickly, I shouldn't say quickly, over the years started to turn into, this is absolute deconstruction and destruction of our constitutional norms, principles, and systems that need to be fixed and remedied. So I'll pause there and I'll go as long as you need me to.
Yeah, no, I'm happy.
If you have
the
time, because we're going in an area that I've never talked about before. And I've always wanted to flesh this out, because there are even some people on our side that supposedly are on our side of the Patriot movement that are skeptical about General Flynn. And it is only because they're being led down a path of those individuals that we need to be fighting. And they've put and injected information about the General Flynn and his ecosystem that is totally not correct and accurate. And I can say so from, in some instances, firsthand observation, and in other instances, second, you know, indirectly, that no one else really had insight into.
Okay? So here's where I'm going with this, because God introduced you to General Flynn a long time ago. And now look what you're doing. You were on tour with the General, going from state to state and speaking to the masses. And I have noticed.
Well, hold on. We have to get to that point.
I wanted to
gotta go from 2014 to 2022.
Right.
A lot happened during that time.
Right. And I'm not done with Ukraine. I'm not, because I have a question about Ukraine, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. But I want to go back to my story really quick, because I was a radio broadcast journalist in Arizona before I had children. I went to journalism school. I had an intern. I met Carrie Lake because of my internship at Fox 10. So I get introduced to her.
Oh, wow.
And what's going on right now is she ran for governor, and all, you know, our elections are corrupted. My friend goes to the hospital for breast cancer. They put her on the COVID floor. I reach out to my state legislator because I was devastated. I want to go see my friend before she died. You know, she only had a few months to live, which got me into going to my legislative district meetings, which got me into becoming a precinct committeeman, which got me into meeting all kinds of lawmakers, congressmen, senators, state and national House of Representatives. I'm writing a bill for the very first time. God told me to pick up my microphone again and start broadcasting. He introduces me to all these people on the tour through podcasts. I was meeting them, and Pastor Greg Locke was one of the first ones I came across that just happened.
Oh, he's so low energy. He's so low energy. Right? I love that guy.
I know. I just happened to find him on my social media. Like, God has been preparing me for such a time as this. I meet Clay through social media, through, you know, podcasts. And because of meeting Clay, I meet other podcasters. I meet the General. I meet the president's son. I meet the chief of staff of the president. It wasn't by coincidence. This was all by design. God has been preparing me.
Quick correction. Friendly correction. A lot of people say Kash Patel is President Trump's chief of staff, or was.
Of the Department of Defense.
He was, right. He was the chief of staff for acting Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller. Sorry, right. Sometimes I get all nerdy and legalistic, and I get it. That's my lawyer coming
in. No, but my point is, like, I would never have met any of these people, including you. I mean, including understanding and learning from you and what you've done.
I'm nobody. I'm just a fly on the wall trying to, you know, make as many sounds as possible.
But you as a nobody is doing stuff, and me as a nobody is doing stuff. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, this is God's hand.
Is what we need to tell people that are listening and watching, mm-hmm. is that I like to use this analogy. I have a toothpick as my oar, and I'm sitting in the Titanic, and we're actually all sitting in that Titanic.
Yes.
And guess what? We're heading towards the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So we have options here. Okay, my toothpick can, you know, move a, you know, one droplet of water at a time as I'm rowing. That's not going to really do much. Now, if you're seeing me and I'm literally sweating, almost passing out from the hummingbird velocity rowing that I'm doing, hopefully that motivates you to the left and to the right of me to say, you know what? I actually have a toothpick as well. Let's actually coordinate this effort. And so as you, Amber, and as everybody else throughout the country that is attending these tours, that are finally waking up to saying, you know what? Our political system is not, it's completely broken. It's lawless. Mm-hmm. And we have to come in and do that body check. And the way we do it is bring out our toothpicks. Some of us have a pencil sized, right, row. Some of us have an oar. Oh, I don't know, like General Flynn and President Trump and Mike Lindell. Yeah, they have actual oars, right? So then if we can all start rowing, we're going to slowly, gradually move that ship. Mm-hmm. And I get it. We want to go from going to the iceberg to completely around it, but we need to get to that point. You know, each millimeter is making that difference. Because imagine, if we hit the iceberg dead on, then we all perish.
Right.
If we still don't get to going fully around it, but only hit it somewhat, a lot of us still survive that impact.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get from direct impact to as much as closely as possible to circumvent that the iceberg. And I get it. Sometimes we circumvent an iceberg. A lot of times we're hitting it, but we're not hitting it. At least we're not hitting it squarely on. Mm-hmm. And that's because of our collective effort to go around it. I can't think of another, you know, analogy to kind of describe what I think
analogy.
We're going through.
So I need to ask you, because you've dealt in Ukraine, you've been in Ukraine, you were an intelligence officer. So I have a question about intelligence. but I want to know this.
That wasn't in Ukraine. It was in the Pentagon, but yeah.
Right. But you're familiar with the whole Ukraine thing. You know about
that. I dabbled.
So this whole Russia thing that they're shoving down our throat, I'm not buying it for what they're selling it for. Do you have any insight on the whole Russia-Ukraine thing?
Yeah, it's because your gut instinct is absolutely correct. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. My assessment of the whole thing in Ukraine, it is a cover-up after cover-up after cover-up money laundering scheme for people to stay in power that seized power illegally, unlawfully, unconstitutionally. And I'm referring specifically to not only the Bidens, but let's think about it this way. Who is gaining from that effort? So when we pull out the Department of Defense and all the surrounding contract companies and the military industrial complex away from the Afghan war, well, how are you going to justify any funding for that entire ecosystem when there's no war to be had? So then you have to create a mechanism to reward those people that helped you in conducting what I call the coup of January 6, 2021. So think about this. Who participated in that coup? It was big tech. It was big media. It was big pharma. And then guess what General Milley did? He was complicit.
The Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, not only that, but he also, yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. But not only that, he took unlawful direct orders from Mike Pence to go ahead and secure a coup on January 6th. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
And
Mike Pence is not a commander in chief. Mike Pence is the vice president. He can only be acting commander in chief when he exercises the 25th Amendment removal with his cabinet. Right. Of this sitting president, Donald J. Trump. Absent that, what Mike Pence did when he was clear and unambiguous in providing direct orders to General Milley, of which General Milley testified before the J6 Mike Pence cover-up committee via his running mate, Lizzie Cheney, who ran that committee. She was the one that said General Milley said that he was clear and unambiguous. And there's even video testimony and evidence that was aired on one of the hearings of that J6 cover-up committee. We got him dead to rights for basically saying, yes, I received and executed on unlawful orders that were given to me by Mike Pence. Now, he could potentially argue, say, oh, I didn't know any better that Mike Pence was not the president of the United States and couldn't give me those direct orders.
Okay, dementia.
I didn't know any better that he wasn't in my chain of command. He could argue that all day, but based on what your response is physiologically, I think 0% of the population buys that argument.
Mm-hmm. So the Russia-Ukraine thing is just a cover-up of the funding and different crimes.
Right, and that second component is, so if all these people had to violate laws, rules, principles, norms, to conduct a coup, they're taking risk, right? So how do you reward that risk that they took? Well, you provide total immunity for the big tech players like the Senate. Remember the Senate did the majority right after the coup? Mm-hmm. This was early 2021. What do you do with big tech and big media? You reward them. What about the governors that complied with making sure that people were murdered, you know, well, at a minimum, medically raped, and then some of them murdered through the emergency use authorized products? You provide that funding to big pharma, big tech, big media, and then also the military industrial complex gets their reward for the coup. How many billions of dollars did they funnel into Ukraine? A lot of that goes to American defense contract companies, and then some of that money is then invested into FTX so that FTX leadership can fund the political campaigns of both political parties that were complicit in committing the coup of January 6th of 2021.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam Bankman-Fried was the one that provided massive amounts of funding. You know what I'm talking about, right? FTX yep. CEO. Mm-hmm. So Sam Bankman-Fried provided massive amounts of money to Democrats. But the other guy, Ryan Salome, however you pronounce it, was the bag man that provided FTX money coming from the, you know, Kevin McCarthy sends money over to Ukraine. Ukraine invested in FTX. FTX then sends it back to Kevin McCarthy's leadership pack that was funded by Ryan Salome. Man, I did a whole Substack series explaining all of this stuff on the counterintelligence investigation into Kevin McCarthy. So my role here is essentially using my background and experience and applying it to the public exposure of what our institutions should be doing on our officials, but they're not, because they're either complicit, lazy, or completely diverted to conduct investigations into unlawful, unconstitutional investigations. Like the entire even if there were people in the FBI that were white hats, guess what they're tasked to do? Only focus 100% of their time and effort on finding domestic terrorists.
Like and me, not like you,
and
like,
mm-hmm. not focusing in on the Chinese takeover of the FBI, right. of the DOJ, of the executive branch. So while you're just busy, like while those FBI agents are using their toothpick to think they're trying to do the right thing, they're spending 20, they're just spinning their wheels to try and find something. It's like, hey, you need to go and surveil and investigate Ivan Raiklin, listen to him via the illegal FISA warrants that we had the judges sign, because he's also investigating the judges. So the judges are going to want to sign the FISA to find something on me, because I'm investigating the FISA court. I'm investigating Pence, Pelosi, Christopher Wray. I'm investigating all of them. And guess, like, they're concerned, because I suspect, based on my evidence, it's not suspect, they're dirty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
But they're investigating me to discredit me and stop me from investigating and exposing them. That's just like exactly they did right. with Devin Nunes and Cash Patel. Guess what, homeboys and homegirls over there? I'm not going to stop. The more pressure you apply to me, the more I escalate my research against them.
Now, so, you were in intelligence, and you're one of our you're a good man, you're a good guy, and I know that there's good people in intelligence, but what a lot of the alt media has uncovered or discovered is the intelligence agency, and we also see that with the Twitter files, are colluding and are part of the gangster, the crime syndicate movement. So when you're a soldier and you're learning about all this intel, I don't know what they're feeding you, but I'm sure you believe like you're going to this thing for a good cause, because you're going to further freedom or whatever. So you continue to do your job and you stand behind the United States. Can you explain to me or walk me through what it was like on that side, being in intelligence, and then what you're knowing now about intelligence? I don't know if that question makes sense to you, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around the whole deceitfulness of the intelligence community.
I'm going to answer it this way, and I think it's going to address what you're seeking here with this question. So the way to conduct proper information gathering and then coming up with an assessment of what you observe based on the evidence you've collected needs to be done in a way that is professional. But in order to get to that point of getting a good analysis of and grasp of what's actually happening, you have to vet the sources that you're using. And so any professional is going to make sure that they're cross-queuing, they're looking at one discipline of information and then trying to find another corroborating piece of evidence to make sure that there's a higher level of confidence in what they observed, rather than there being misinformation, disinformation, etc., right? That's always going to be out there, right? So the reason, and I talked about this briefly on that Tucker interview, is that we currently institutionally don't have a baseline where we can all go back to and culturally say, hey, this is what binds us as a society. This is our core principles, right? Right? And so whether it be biblical, whether it be, a religion, which in America it's, freedom of religion, so there's multiple. So in that essence, there's really not, religion would not be that core foundational basis, even though many in our movement would, there's that desire, and there's a lot of the main religions have very overlapping core principles. Let's just be realistic. But that still is not a binding, that's an aspirational component, but it's not binding.
Right.
The only thing that fits into the category of a binding nexus of every single citizen in this country is the Constitution, right? And so if our institutions and our sworn officers don't even know the components, and they don't know because there isn't an institutional framework to instill that and inculcate that into the cultural psyche and the norm of the institutions, that's why you're starting to see how other nations, namely China and Russia and a distant third, Iran, can exploit that to its maximum. And then so it pits me against you because you have hair and I don't. And so now I'm jealous and angry because you have beautiful, lush hair. You're right. I mean, it's basically right. Every single category you can think of. My eyebrows, you know, maybe not as kempt as yours. So now we have to pit each other against that, right? You get my point here. We have to focus on what is that foundational document. And what I like to see about some of these organizations out there, America's Future for one, you've heard of it, right?
No.
America's Future, General Flynn just took over several years ago.
Oh, yes.
And the core principle of that organization, I'm not part of it. I don't get anything for saying this. Organizations like that, that literally all their focus is the advocacy for constitutional norms and principles, and then contextualizing it into the history of the United States and how it applies today. We've gone astray from that. And as it applies to our federal government and the collective, our institutions, is when we get everybody on the same sheet of music of what our responsibility is as a federal government, then you start to get to a understanding of a baseline knowledge and definitions that we can then form off of that. But without that, it's literally, hey, because I feel this way, that should be the rule. And that's what we've gotten into. And so how do we fix that is when the entire source base that even our institutions are relying on are New York slimes, Washington compost, raw sewage, Commie News Network, MSDNC, faux news. When that is the entire ecosystem of open source information that these professionals in our executive branch are using to form their analysis off of, it is absolutely biased and skewed. And if you go back and look into detail on who's behind those sources of information and who is these main sponsors for them, then you start to unravel and see and deconstruct the biases in all of them as a collective. And then it weakens those sources as being credible sources. And that is the friction going on right now, is when the established order and the big money conduits that control those big media conglomerates that I mentioned are being attacked and discredited, because I do that every day. And it's okay if only one person listens to me. But when millions of people listen to my content and your content, and now are basically saying, well, who do I believe? And they're leaning more in our favor because our content is more longer form. It's more substantive. Yes, it takes more time. But that's exactly why Joe Rogan has the biggest platform of anybody, because these are 3-4, sometimes even up to 5 hours of deep dive critical thinking back and forth going on that don't occur in these fly-by-night 10-second hit pieces, right? And so you're seeing that shift completely taking place. That's why they had to censor us, because they were losing control. And then that's why we then had to respond with creating Truth, creating Getter, creating Locals, creating Rumble, all these channels. And so now they're in a position of even weaker, you know, and we're and it's this constant battle. So going back to what we initially said was, you know, what kind of law do I practice? What do I do? I think in order to correct our institutions holistically, whether it be in the executive branch, DOJ, FBI, DHS, DOD, the court systems, those judges are like you and me and consume the faux newses of the world or the news vaxes of the world if they're conservative.